This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. As San Antonio celebrates its 300th year, what better time to take a look back at the people who made this city? How did we get the city that we have today, for better or worse? A new book, 300 Years of San Antonio and Bexar County, covers many of the city's major moments. But San Antonio is more than the arrival of the Canary Islanders, the Battle of the Alamo, and cutting the ribbon for Hemisphere. There's so much history in the city that frequently a lot of it gets eclipsed. What stories matter most when commemorating San Antonio's tricentennial milestone? What other voices should be remembered as part of the city's documented history? And what do you hear your history, the things that you care about in San Antonio, in the official history of San Antonio? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at TPR. Our source. We're joined this afternoon by Tom Payton. He's the director of the Trinity University Press, and Claudia Guetta. She's the editor of 300 Years of San Antonio and Bexar County. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all. It's great to have you here as we talk about this beautiful book, coffee table book, great illustrations, comprehensive, talking about San Antonio's 300 years of history. And when you do something like this, there are always people who are going to say, well, you should have had this, you should have had that, but this is what you guys were able to bring together. So talk about that. Tom Payton, you're the director of Trinity University Press. You helped bring this book into fruition. Talk about the vision.
Well, at its base years ago, we, with the tricentennial year quickly coming, we asked ourselves what role we might be able to play and had several different ideas and engaged in a conversation with different folks at the table at that time, initially making tricentennial plans. And we said we would love to publish a book because we know how to do that. And as we got more deep into that discussion, we realized there were any number of ways we could approach it, but that what we wanted to do was something that was not just decidedly different and unique in 2018, but something that really tried to put a finger on the pulse of what San Antonians, diverse, with many perspectives, were feeling and debating and how they were seeing their city. And so quickly we realized the best approach was not to identify that one author who probably no one author really could write a definitive history of San Antonio and would need 10 years or more to do it, but that a much more effective approach would be to tap any number of contributors so that we represented those diverse voices and perspectives, sometimes concurring, sometimes in conflict with one another perhaps, and that we would embrace and celebrate the richness of the telling of our story using that approach. And Claudia could tell us more about how that really came together.
Yeah, Claudia had the Herculean task to bring this all together. Talk about that.
So I think Tom is right about thinking about this as a vision of what people were thinking now. And before we went on air, you said something that I thought was particularly interesting, and that's this book is a reflection of who we are now. It's not necessarily just a reflection of what's happened in the past or where we want to go. We have that in there, but it really is how we are perceiving our history and ourselves right now.
Because we're getting to choose what we consider to be important in the past that needs to be brought forward into this one collection.
Absolutely. And so we did start with thinking about those iconic moments. But within those iconic moments, there may be iconic stories that never got told. What are those little nuggets that may be associated with Hemisphere, but which we don't talk about in the same way, or which are associated with some of our better known people like Davy Crockett? We didn't want to make this be about the same celebrated people, but if James Bowie was going to be in here, we wanted to have a little bit of a story of him that maybe people haven't heard. And you'll have one of the writers who addressed that on the show a little later, so she can talk to that. But it really was, what are those nuggets of information that we always wonder about? Like, when was the first street light put in? When was the, what was a fire like in pre-colonial or colonial times? Those are the kinds of stories that I think really reveal a San Antonio that is more authentic than maybe what's already been talked about.
So I'm sure that as you were putting together this book, you did research and you looked at how San Antonio commemorated its other big milestone dates, like its bicentennial. How does that writing about the history of the city differ from what we're doing today?
So I actually didn't do a lot because I didn't want to be informed or biased by what had been done before. I really wanted to talk to people who were current with history and the stories that they wanted to tell. So that's really was our first approach. But yes, there San Antonio has been portrayed in a certain way. So when we talked about the bicentennial, the stories that kept coming up at that point were more about what the city wanted to promote in terms of prosperity, commercialism. But there were a lot of people who were against having the bicentennial at all. So I thought in itself that was an interesting story. But it's not in this book because I didn't find anyone who could immediately write about that. That was a story that had been sort of buried and one that deserves more attention. But in putting together the book, we had a short amount of time, and I really needed people who could deliver and could deliver quickly and knew their topics very quickly.
But having looked at that history of how San Antonio told its own story, I saw that same thing. They were looking at trying to promote the city, and it was a lot of writing about the industrialization. But what they didn't talk about, and what y'all do talk about in this book, is about the diversity of San Antonio's communities and about how the city is made up of the native peoples. We have a Jewish community. We have white settlers. There was a lot of different people came to San Antonio from around the world to make up the city that we have today. And so, Tom, can you talk about why that was an important part, a centerpiece for this book?
Well, at its core, it ties directly to so much of what's going on around town right now, whether that's marked by physical locations and museum exhibits driven by artifacts, but underlying all of it's, I think, a very fresh, heightened, sophisticated level of debate, ongoing debate, evolving discussion, and revelation about the many peoples who have intentionally, unintentionally, crafted this city and the richness of those different stories. So we felt it was really important that we tap that pulse and through the programming at so many wonderful museums, different programs here at TPR, different cultural organizations, it seemed really in line and time for one project like a book to try to bring the community together. Where that's the so much of the energy about what's going on right now, whether it's looking at buildings and having a fresh discussion, not so much about the physical structure or architectural heritage, but about the real cultural heritage that underlies a particular structure and what may happen with it. It's so what San Antonio is trying to do right now and doing so well that we felt it was important that the book reflect that kind of sensibility.
And to take that just a little bit further, what was, I think, really important about the book is to understand that San Antonio doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's connected to the rest of the world. And the people that were coming to San Antonio were coming here for a reason, either because of what San Antonio offered to them, and often more often because of what was happening in their homelands.
Particularly when we talk about people coming from Mexico during the Mexican Revolution, and that was a great influence on San Antonio. We're talking about the book 300 Years of San Antonio and Bexar County. Is your history part of San Antonio's official history? What do you think is being left out? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. It is your history, not an official history. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the tricentennial book, 300 Years of San Antonio and Bexar County. It's published by Trinity University Press. And now we're joined by one of the contributors. This is Tomas Ibarra Frosto. And Tomas, welcome, sir. You're on the air. Tell us about your contributions.
Well, I was very interested in talking about San Antonio as a cosmopolitan city, a city that is made up of multiple communities. But from my viewpoint, the tap root, the deepest root, is the Mexican-American Tejano root of San Antonio. San Antonio, as we know now, contemporaneously, is a minority-majority city, with the largest group being the Mexican-American community. oftentimes this community is sort of like a cipher that people don't really understand. So I thought that by writing a little bit about my own personal story, sort of a memoir of my life growing up in San Antonio, I could point out how this other community, this Taproot community, the Mexican-American community, which itself is made up of indigenous and African and Mexican as mestizos, that San Antonio really is a mestizo city that amalgamates many communities and many cultures. And so I wanted to do a personal story and about me, sort of a memoir, but in that way, recognizing that no one story tells a story of a whole community, but pointing out perhaps that as I talked about myself, I could talk about many of those cultural signposts that some people might remember in San Antonio.
Well, tell me some of that stuff. I mean, let's get out of the abstract and into the concrete. Where did you grow up? What part of town?
I grew up on the west side of San Antonio next to our Lady of the Lake. And it was a very rich community. But I grew up in the 1940s, right after the Second World War. It was a time of really immense sort of activity. The GIs came back under the GI Bill. It was Kelly Field was open. A lot of workers, particularly women, were working in the workforce for the first time. A lot of Mexican-American communities found an opportunity. And so this is the beginning of a kind of a middle class, the Mexican-American middle class in San Antonio. And, of course, there was a lot of discussion of questions of identity and language in the newspapers, La Prensa, that was published in Spanish, but also a lot of other newspapers that were very significant. But it has been mentioned before, San Antonio has always been a gateway city. So the people here, the Mexican-American community, through the newspapers like La Prensa and others, had an access to a sort of a world literature. My dad used to, La Prensa every Sunday had a sort of a cultural installment, a cultural sort of chronicle that it talked about different cultural things. And so it had translations in Spanish of world literature. So I grew up listening to my dad read to us from that every Sunday. But it was, you know, a bleak house. So I thought that Dickens was sort of like a Chicano. So it was a bicultural and bilingual, but also a world city. It was San Antonio has always been this midpoint between us and Latin America, for
sure.
Example.
So Tomas, let me ask you this. So as you tell that story, and I think a lot of people can relate to that story of growing up on the West Side, Kelly Jobs being a way to help really provide for a Mexican-American middle class and have launched many families out of a poverty into the American dream. Why is it important that your story be part of this book of the 300 years of San Antonio and Bexar County?
I hope that it will show how heterogeneous any one community is. That most people who have a stereotyped vision of what any particular community is, by the different stories told by different people from different communities in this book, they'll find out perhaps that some of their beliefs or some of the ideas, for example, that the Mexican-American community is all working class, they'll find out, you know, that no, that there's a middle class and certainly an elite. And that has not only happened, you know, now, but historically, particularly in terms of people coming in during the Mexican Revolution, people that had money to establish, you know, we've always had, you know, doctors and lawyers
right.
and so on.
So, Tomas, how do you think the book turned out?
It's a beautiful book. I think for me, it shows this cosmopolitan aspect that we have to get out of thinking, you know, our community is the basis, but at the same time, not forgetting that we were once a part of Mexico and that continues to be one of the taproots of our community.
Tomas Ibarra Frosto, thank you so much. He's one of the contributors to the book 300 Years of San Antonio and Bexar County, published by Trinity University Press. Claudia Guetta is the editor of the book. So how did it work out that you would have this collaboration with Tomas?
So, first of all, Tomas is one of my mentors. I'm lucky, I'm one of those lucky individuals in San Antonio. That came late. I met him after I moved back from New York, where I had a career in publishing, and his name had always been illustrious, and we moved back at about the same time. So I work with Tomas on many other projects together, preserving history and enjoying and reveling in history. So for me, it was a natural that he had to be in this book.
Let me go to another caller. This is Susan. Susan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm a member of the National Council of Jewish Women, and we are making a documentary film of the history of Jewish San Antonio. We've interviewed about 30 people, all on film, taken it all on film, and we are. Our goal is to create an hour and a half film about the history of San Antonio and how our community has contributed to its growth and its prosperity. The people that we've interviewed are between the ages of 80 and 102.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Susan, thank you for calling in. So it's important that groups, I mean, you have the book here, Tom, but, you know, history is, everyone should be out there trying to do their own story.
Absolutely.
And put something really cool together and come talk to you.
Well, that as well, we hope. Absolutely. I think a key point that so many people I work with and admire like to take moments like this to remind us all is that, you know, the whole high school notion of memorizing the spelling of this name or the date when this or that happened is important and well and good, but that too often history is thought of by many people or remembered by many people in those terms. And we share different versions of a passion for reminding people that history is living, history is always subject to new discovery, new interpretation, new perspectives, new voices, new experience that can recontextualize what we think we know. And as a result, history is, you know, always starting and restarting and being shaped and reshaped today. We're all making history now. And so, our hope is that a book like this helps set a stage for an ongoing discussion about histories, however broad, however they may be a micro history of a particular neighborhood or community or experience or property or artifact. History is looking forward, and it's in the micro histories as in particular that we find great strength and revelation and start to connect dots in new ways.
Got another contributor on the line. Lionel Sosa joins us. Lionel Sosa, you're a book contributor, but also you're a member of the Tricentennial Commission. Can you talk about your contribution to the book first?
Well, actually, I'm not a contributor to the book per se, but I was on the book committee. It was a group of about a dozen of us who had input into the wonderful work that Claudia put together, and as she was getting all of the contributors together, you know, making suggestions of perhaps who should be in it, what stories should be in it, what stories would be more important, and so forth. And I'm just delighted at the way that she was able to put not only all of these contributors together, working together, but that then the style in the final product became kind of similar. You know, it's almost like one person wrote it. Not entirely. Each one has its own personality and so forth, but yet there's a sameness to the whole thing, whether we're talking about the puro indio, the Indian or the Africans or the Moors, the Spanish, the Mexicans, the Germans, the Polish, Belgians, Lebanese, Greeks, Jews, Italians. The Black community, so much on the rich Black community of San Antonio that's in it. It's a little bit of wonderful reading. It's not heavy reading. You can read a little section of it here or there, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm buying about 20 copies, and I'm going to have them here for friends and family when they visit, and It's just a wonderful read.
So, Lionel, you've written a book, Children of the Revolution, talking about the exodus of Mexico of an elite class of educated people, and many of them settled in San Antonio and really changed the trajectory for San Antonio, a big part of our history that is touched on in this book. You didn't write that part, but I thought of you when I read that part. Can you talk a little bit how important that was?
Well, you know, San Antonio is two-thirds Latino. The nation, Texas, is half Latino. So a lot of that population, the very first influx of Mexicans into San Antonio was during the years of the Mexican Revolution from about 1910 to about 1930 and even beyond. People continued to come in. They settled in San Antonio. A lot of them became the leaders of San Antonio, the Lozanos that had the first Spanish language radio station, then first Spanish language television station in the United States, and the first Spanish language newspaper in the United States. A very, very elite group of thinkers who really influenced San Antonio and I think established the rich, the roots of the rich Latino culture that we have here.
And so you say you're buying a lot of copies of this book. What are you going to tell someone when you hand them a copy of the book?
Well, I'm going to tell them, you know, just enjoy the little stories about them. None of them are really totally in-depth or complete stories, but each one will kind of remind you of the little bits and pieces of the people and the institutions and the religions that put together this city that is so unique, a city that works together so well, a city that is so welcoming to outsiders and, of course, welcoming to everyone who lives here. It's a city where people who visit say, God, I like to live there. And people who live here, we tend to say, we love to live here, and aren't we lucky?
So Lionel Sosa, you are on the Tricentennial Commission. That commission hit a couple of potholes along the way, was able to straighten up. How are things now?
Things are going so smoothly, and thanks to Dr. Cynthia Mattson, who really was, I think, the work that she did and the work of Carlos Contreras made everything come together when it should come together, and for us to be able to enjoy not just a wonderful New Year celebration welcoming in 2018. But also all of the activities that have happened since then. And, of course, the book, in my opinion, is a very important part of this because it's something that stays. You know, a New Year's celebration, it's wonderful, but it comes and goes. A commemorative week is more than wonderful, but it comes and goes. The book, celebrating this 300th anniversary of San Antonio, stays.
All right. Lionel Sosa, thank you so much. We've still got about 6 months left in the year to keep celebrating. We're not done yet, and plenty of opportunities to reflect on 300 years of history in San Antonio. How has your story been reflected in these tellings? We want to hear from you. Tell us your history of San Antonio, what happened in your backyard. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this quick break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 300 years, San Antonio has seen a lot of history. It's impossible to cram it all into one single book, but Trinity University Press, Tricentennial Commission, they have a book out. It's a, I don't know, is it the official history of San Antonio? I don't know, because what is the official history of San Antonio? Give us a call. Do you see your history being told as we talk about San Antonio's 300 years? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Tom Payton, director of Trinity University Press, do you consider this to be the official history?
I know, and I think that's a silly game. for any publisher or civic enterprise to engage in trying to set at a moment in time an official history of a city. I think it's important that we reframe how we approach these kinds of projects and see them as evolutionary and contextualized. And we can benchmark, as we talked about, what we're debating, what we're discussing, how we see things at this moment. But I think it's a kind of a false narrative to hold out the idea of official histories.
So do you see this? I mean, is it the ahistory? Or I mean, it seems to be a collection. I mean, the different essays approach this from different directions. Some are very personal. Some are very fact-based. Claudia Guetta, you're the editor of the book. I mean, how do you kind of give it a title of what this book is?
We use the word commemorative a lot, and I think that is the right thing. We want to commemorate history. We want to commemorate San Antonio. We want to commemorate stories and the individual stories that are in here. So I don't necessarily think of this as a history book per se. It is a book that happens to have history in it, but it has voices in it. So we really try to have different levels of stories that were going in here. And I don't mean the terms of content, but you can see it even in the length. You know, how long, how much time did we spend with a certain story? How much did we spend in others just being an essay? But more importantly than that isn't necessarily the word count for each, but what comes across. And that was why we included the voices of everyday people in here in terms of quotes, because those stories, while they may be 50 words or so, are really reflective of San Antonio and who San Antonio is, who are the people there.
So in the book, there's things in here like the part about Rosengren's bookstore written by Bryce Milligan. Mm-hmm. Why was that included?
Because I thought that was an important part of San Antonio's history that is no longer here. And I didn't want it to be forgotten. I think several of us, as we talked about it, do we include it, do we not? It's one of those things that is fading from memory, but it was really important to a large number of San Antonians at a specific time, as was the Rosengren family. They were a very important part of San Antonio's. They were an institutional San Antonio family. So capturing that and making sure it doesn't fade away was one of the important things that we were thinking about.
Okay, let's go to callers. Rose is on the line. Rose, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I grew up in far west San Antonio, right before you get to Callahan and Culebra. Now it's called Culebra Park Number 3. I'm not sure how that ever happened, but it was West San Antonio Heights. In the 1930 census, it labeled it a Negro colony. But I called and you got my attention because I'm just so excited to understand the fuller history of San Antonio. And the question I have, there's a project with African American history in San Antonio being released sometime in August. I think it's August 17th, but at any rate, when I grew up, I remember living in our school being on a hill. And we would take a trip out in the woods, and you could overlook on this top of this hill where we would trek out to. You could overlook this community lying beyond us, going west of San Antonio still, but it was off limits to us as a black person or as an African American. So as a child, I just dreamt of being exposed to more of the world. And it wasn't until I left San Antonio, I graduated high school, integration had happened by then, but I still just felt like I didn't know how to live.
Right. And Rose, thank you for calling in. Appreciate you that. And it's important to have stories like Rose in the book. I know you include Everett Fly. He's in the book, and he writes about the Liberty colonies that were around San Antonio. These were colonies. These are little communities that were formed after emancipation, and they thrived.
They did. And this is part of the phenomenal work that Everett is doing to uncover more of the stories of these small towns and enclaves and settlements. And one of the things that I find fascinating about what he's uncovered is the fact that there were they were African Americans who owned land and cattle, and they had their own brands, and he's uncovered them, and we can now see them. It's something we don't normally think of, but that was part of a critical part of our life.
But when we hear from Rose, we hear about the importance of the oral tradition, and you have families, stories that are told from generation to generation, and you could have many kids in one brood, and they're, each of them is going to remember something different from that oral tradition, and so it's important that we hear from people like Rose to try to capture these stories while we still can,
yes,
before they're lost.
Yes, absolutely. Rose and Jane, who called earlier, the fact that they're trying to capture their history is very important because nobody knows the history like they do. They're the experts, and we need them to be capturing that and telling their own histories.
We have another contributor to the book from Trinity University Press, 300 Years of San Antonio in Bexar County. We're joined by Catherine Nelson Hall. And Catherine, welcome to The Source. Tell me about your contribution to the book.
Yes, thank you. My contribution was on San Antonio Military City. And Claudia asked me to write about it after visiting our Witte Museum Tricentennial Exhibition, Confluence and Culture, 300 Years of San Antonio History, which will still run for 6 months through January 6, 2019. And there was a military thread running throughout the exhibit, and then also a military gallery, which, as you mentioned earlier, artifacts embedded in a military timeline. But I think it's really reflective of the book itself, because almost every essay in the book mentions the military or has some military component, including what Tomas talked about earlier. So, and these other projects that are happening throughout the city, it's so exciting to have that heritage and history contributions being made during this celebration of our tricentennial. So,
right. So even as we talk about San Antonio, it's trademarked Military City USA, so apparently no other city can call itself that. But before San Antonio was even settled, before the arrival of the Canary Islanders, the military was here. It was a Presidio.
Yes. Actually, the military started coming through in the 1690s. So Presidial soldiers founded it. They were the first settlers in 1718, but they had been coming through before that on entradas, and then the city was founded as a military outpost to protect Spain's northern frontera. So San Antonio has a deep-rooted history with the military, and of course continues to be a key center for military training and support.
And some of the decisions that were made along the way to have Fort Sam Houston, that significant post here in San Antonio, it wasn't just an automatic kind of a thing. It was interesting how this development, so significant in San Antonio's history, was how it came about.
Well, yes, it evolves over time, and of course, when we had the the U.S.-Mexican War. In the 1840s, after that, when the U.S., the United States Army came here, that's when Fort Sam was really founded and developed. But before that, we'd been a military base in center for different, for all of the different, Spanish royalty, the viceroy, and then the Mexican United States. Through every, all of the flags that ruled San Antonio, we had been a center for the military. But it is really interesting about, and also the Fort Sam, when they were first being developed and first building the base, they located in a different area before they are where they are present. They used the Alamo for a depot in the 1840s. And so some of the artifacts we have on display at the Witte show, like the Alamo keys and other things, were from that time.
Right, and the Civil War almost started right there.
It did. When General Twiggs surrendered, it was right near the Alamo, right by Viramundi Palace. The Alamo really is a good center for our military heritage.
So why is it important that we remember all of the military history that of San Antonio? Why is that a crucial running theme throughout the history?
Well, I think when Claudia proposed my writing about this, we were debating which area for this essay to go into, and she decided on the global section, because I think while, because it really, we are a global city, and the military has had it's been a part of the global, our global city from the beginning, from the time, you know, there was so much going on in 1812 with, you know, in War of 1812 with the British, the French in Europe, the battles here, the Revolution, it really is, you know, and then up through today with everything going on,
It's been a stabilizer. It's been something that's provided so much for San Antonio. I want to thank Catherine Nelson Hall. She's a contributor to 300 Years of San Antonio and Bexar County, published by Trinity University Press. You want to talk about your history of San Antonio, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this one-minute break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. If you hadn't heard, San Antonio is celebrating its tricentennial. Kind of hard not to hear that in San Antonio. We talk about it every day here on Texas Public Radio with our tricentennial minutes. Also with us is the publication of the book, 300 Years of San Antonio in Bexar County by Trinity University Press. If you've got a question or a comment, want to talk about what you think about San Antonio's history. It's very complex. It's so many different aspects to it. If you think that we're failing in telling the world about your history, give us a call right now. Here's a chance to try and set the record straight. The number is 210-614-8980. Tom Payton, director of Trinity University Press, when they said, we want to do this book, I guess there was a conversation with the Tricentennial Commission. I mean, when your first imagination, we could probably do that, until what we ended up with in my hand today, what was that journey like?
Well, I think the important part is the end of the journey and how delighted we are with
was it full of surprises?
The finished product. Yeah, we're very proud of the book. We hope you know, the telling is in how it's received in the community, and like we said earlier, that the dialogues, the book is ultimately successful if it opens up those dialogues and brings those stories forth. It was a delight, of course, working with Claudia, who did such an exceptional job. We were so humbled that so many contributors were excited and willing to contribute in the way that they did. What was important to us, you know, stepping back, was that we not, nothing wrong with this, but that we not do what many cities might do and do the boosterism package, the pretty book with the wonderful pictures of how we want San Antonio to look from a booster's kind of perspective to the world, that we really wanted to have substance and yet not produce a book that was academic or felt inaccessible in any way to everyday San Antonians. And
so how did you avoid that boosterism, trying to put out this glossy brochure for the Chamber of Commerce talking about San Antonio's history?
Sure. There were some robust discussions early on, but very quickly everyone agreed that we wanted to produce something of substance. And then we could begin honing what that would be and how we would define that. And when Claudia came on board, it certainly really brought that into focus for us. But there was consensus early on of the many possibilities that we wanted to send a message to San Antonians, but also to the world, that we were going to take a substantive and appreciative look at the complexity of our history.
Well, San Antonio's history is not always pretty. We've got, you know, San Antonio had Jim Crow. You do talk about some slave markets we had in San Antonio. It's included in this book. You have to, if you want to tell a story that's going to have some authenticity, you got to tell the whole story, Claudia.
Absolutely, and we really let the contributors and the writers tell those stories. We didn't try to direct them. We asked them, you know, this is a topic we think needs to be covered. How do you want to approach it? And so we would help develop and shape it, but we really let people who knew this background tell the story the way it needed to be told, without giving them so much direction that it would turn into the boosterism that Tom is talking about.
So when they have the 400th anniversary of San Antonio, and they pull out this book and say, what did they write about back then in 2018? What do you think they're going to find, and what's going to be of interest to them, Claudia?
I think they're going to find all the things that are missing. I hope they include and expand a lot on these stories, but I have a list of things we wanted to include in the book and just didn't have enough time. I would love to have included a story about the Chinese community. It's very robust. I mean, obviously, the Chinese, Pershing's Chinese, which is very important to tell, but they developed a lot of the Kelly Air Force Base neighborhoods. And
there's also a big Philippine community came back.
And the big Philippine, yes.
Came back with Pershing because he was in the Philippines with that conflict.
Absolutely. So stories like that we keep talking about, can we create a place for them online somewhere? They didn't make it to print, but we know they exist. Can we keep working on this and expanding that somewhere?
And Tom, what got left out?
I wouldn't say so much left out as in terms of the future folks looking back, perhaps they'll see that this was a moment in time, but it also, as I said, set the stage for new tellings. Where this isn't this program, but we're very deeply committed to not just Texas history, but especially San Antonio and South Central Texas history at Trinity University Press, and we're working on some new projects that we hope will provide those kinds of outlets, and in particular, as I said before, outlets for micro histories, I mean, maybe family histories or oral histories or community-based histories, things that aren't necessarily their own book-length work, but that need a viable stage and an audience, and need to have a place where they fit in to the puzzle that's emerging. So it's a beginning, and I've got to say, we'd love to hear from anyone who has their story to tell and a way in which they're envisioning telling it. And we can see how that might fit into some of our publishing plans in the future.
San Antonio has so much incredible history that frequently great parts of it are just like left out. So when I think about San Antonio during the days of the Wild West, frequently people other cities in America are cashing in on their Wild West, OK Corral type, and it's like, that was nothing. We had that in San Antonio in spades, the shootouts and outlaws and train robberies. That happened all the time down here in San Antonio. This was really a bad place for bad desperados. I mean, so do you tell that story, Claudia?
I think so there is a portion of that in there, so that we do have a Wild West story in there. We'd like to expand on that there's more to be told. There's one part that I had to cut out because we just didn't have room for it, that goes in the fire department story, and that was how bad it was downtown, where they kept the fire bell, where the outlaws would come and start shooting the bell that rang to alert people that there was a fire that would allow the volunteer fire department to gather. They would come shoot that bell for fun at 2 a.m. So stories like that I love, and I think we need to tell them some more. And it's one of the ones that I couldn't keep in there just because I was short on space.
And another important story is San Antonio's government, how we achieve the government that we have today, including single-member districts,
right,
and also have the city manager form of government. We were one of the first cities to adopt that form of government, and that was to deal with out-of-control corruption that we had at the time.
And Dr. David Johnson writes a very nice piece on that includes that story and includes information about the Good Government League and how the transformation of our government, and especially Lila Cockrell's mark on that. And several readers, we had peer review readers on this, and several commented that no one had seen a better, more in-depth information on Lila Cockrell than what Dr. Johnson has done.
It's amazing how the footprint that she has left in San Antonio in guiding the city from the Good Government League to what we have today with single-member districts. Her endorsement for the single-member district elections was critical in past, and also due to the involvement of Reverend Claude Black and other individuals who are saluted in the book. And having their names in here is significant and important, and they would be it would be amiss if they weren't there.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so I want to thank. So, how do I get a copy of this book? Where do you have it?
Available through Trinity University Press's website, tupress.org. But your neighborhood bookstores, the Twig locally, as well as stores like Barnes & Noble Borders, museum gift shops, online, and any number of retailers. Everyone knows what that means. And and all over town.
And you say the history continues to be told, it continues to be written. We need people to somehow gather their own history from their family and preserve that and bring that forward. I want to thank both of our guests. Tom Payton, he's the director of Trinity University Press. Claudia Guetta is the editor of the book 300 Years of San Antonio and Bexar County. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.